The Bush administration is lining up international support for U.S. military response to this week's terrorist attacks. The president and Secretary of State Powell say they're phoning world leaders and are gratified by the response. U.S. officials are enlisting support not only for retaliation, but for a strong international alliance to combat all forms of terrorism. Their success may depend on which group is held responsible for the attacks. NPR's Vicki O'Hara reports.
Condolences and expressions of solidarity with the United States have poured in from around the world since the first images of the destruction were shown on television. Edward Jerigian is director of the Baker Institute at Rice University and was Assistant Secretary of State for Near East Affairs under President Bush Sr. He says those shocking images will help the administration to build its coalition against terrorism.
The world has been brutally sensitized to the threat in a major way. So in terms of political psychological terms, I think countries, their attention has been seized. They're willing to act.
Jerigian points to the position taken by NATO. It's agreed to view the attack on the United States as an attack on the entire 19-member alliance. That allows the possibility of NATO assistance in any U.S. response. President Bush has characterized the attacks in New York and Washington as the first war of the 21st century. But Edward Jerigian says it's not a new war.
It's a continuing battle which needs a coherent policy that goes from everything from public education, information, preventive measures, counterterrorism measures, enhancing our intelligence capabilities, especially, I think, human intelligence, to find out what motivations are of peoples, and also all the way up to military options.
Adeed Dawisha is a political science professor at Miami University of Ohio. He says putting together a coalition is vital, especially if the United States is going to take extreme measures to go after suspected terrorists such as Osama bin Laden.
If this time we're going to mount the kind of threat against a sovereign country like Afghanistan in order to make it either deliver bin Laden to us or force them to do so by the force of arms, then we certainly need to have strong support from the international community.
Dawisha says it's essential that the U.S. look for backing from non-traditional allies, as it did during the Persian Gulf War.
We had to have the Third World and the Muslim world behind us. Once this happened, it negated any possibility that Saddam Hussein would call the action illegitimate or would call it a classic example of American imperialism. In other words, if we could do something like that here, then that is the way we want to go.
But the situations are very different. Jeffrey Kemp is director of regional strategic programs at the Nixon Center in Washington. He served on the National Security Council under President Reagan.
The invasion of Kuwait by Saddam Hussein was such an egregious violation of every principle of international relations that, you know, the vast majority of our Arab friends supported us. In the case of bin Laden, you'll get a lot of support, but if it then turns out that there are other groups, Palestinian groups, for instance, who are involved, you'll immediately get a division in the Arab world and a much more reluctance.
Kemp says in order to succeed, a coalition should target a specific group that has carried out specific acts of terror.
A generic war against terrorism will never work because there will be no agreement on the definition of terrorism.
But Kemp and other analysts agree that the attacks on the United States this week should serve as a wake-up call to the world that something must be done to stop terrorism. As horrific as the attacks were, Kemp says, they could have been worse. The hijackers could have been carrying chemical or biological weapons. Vicki O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.
In addition to the thousands of U.S. citizens dead or missing after Tuesday's terror attacks, hundreds of foreign nationals are unaccounted for. The Japanese Foreign Ministry says about 100 of its citizens are missing or dead. Close to 100 British citizens are dead. And Australia's dead and missing is nearing that number. At least 50 Bangladeshis and 27 South Koreans are missing. Mexican officials said it would take weeks to determine its country's toll of dead or missing.